What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, welcome on in, folks, to the Caesars Sportsbook First Take here inside the Superdome. And it is game day on a Saturday morning. We are here. It feels a little bit off for sure. At least we got the finale of the preseason. The last one of these exhibition games that don't matter, Jeff.
Yeah, one of the best changes the NFL made in recent years was
two
of the best. One was eliminating overtime. They did that recently. And also eliminating that fourth preseason game. Because can you imagine if we were just like, oh, it's the third preseason game. We're getting ready for next week. There's the last one. No, like this is, I think three games is enough in this context of like, we know what we know, we know what we don't know, and we know what we're trying to figure out today, right? There's not that many roster spots left. Like I put out my final roster projection because there's usually not enough time to put out another one after the game, and it's like, well, just wait for the cuts because that happens on Tuesday at 3 p.m. They have to be down to 53.
Right.
But I really don't think there's that many starting jobs that are actually up for grabs, right? Obviously, quarterback, you know, that's a question. I think it's a lot closer to Spencer Rattler than Kellen Moore might
feels
lead
that
you
way,
to
right.
think. But either way, I think it's, you know, he's got to come out here and finish the job, right? Like, I think one of the reasons you don't name a quarterback, there's a few reasons you don't name a quarterback. One is you don't want to say, hey, Spencer's our guy, and then open up a scenario where he comes out here and just looks terrible. And you're like, well, maybe he's not our guy. And then you have to change. And then you just look like you have no clue what you're doing. So I think that's a big part of why you don't. But also because I think you wanted to get Tyler Shuck first team reps all week in practice because this is going to be your last opportunity to do that. And if you name Spencer Rattler your quarterback and still give Tyler first team reps, it looks like you're undermining your starting quarterback. So I think there's a little bit of both of those things. Either way, that's the biggest roster battle. And then on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you have punter, who I have no idea who the starting punter is going to be. I don't think either of these guys has separated himself. I haven't ruled out Mr. Outside Hire at this point.
Right.
Whoever comes out here and has the best punter performance today may win that job. But other than that, I mean, you have some questions at running back. You may have some questions at, like, okay, do you keep six linebackers or six cornerbacks or five safeties? Like, how do you mix up the special teams? But that's really what we're after today. That and a strong performance for the first team offense,
please,
which is something we have not seen yet. It does sound like we're going to get a majority of the starters, at least all the healthy starters. Taliafuaga is dealing with a knee injury. I wouldn't expect to see him out there. Anyone who's kind of dealing with some nagging issues, I wouldn't expect to see. But otherwise, I think we're going to get at least one series of basically the full first-team offense today.
The flip side to that, that Sean Payton and the Broncos also plan on starting their ones, and that Denver defense is pretty lethal.
Yeah, we saw it last year.
Yeah, that's a nice test.
The only good news is Spencer has seen it before, so maybe that helps. I don't know, like at least with a version of it that you had last year. I don't know if they're going to – I don't think in the preseason – you know, Vance Joseph is a very blitz-heavy defensive coordinator, and that's just – you know, he'll send some extra pressure, but he's not going to be dialing up anything exotic in the preseason to show people if he brought anything new to the table. So I think that'll help. But, yeah, I mean, and I don't need to see a 14-play drive for a touchdown. It would be nice. But I do need to see some positive drive, some momentum, and some points on the board. I'll settle for field goals as long as you move the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say right there, I'll take a 7-8 play drive, go down the field, kick a field goal, come away with points. You feel good about it. Get a few first downs. Not going, you know, three and out. It's definitely a big buzzkill when you're going right the game before the regular season.
Especially with the starters in there.
Right.
Right. Like these guys are supposed to be the players that you've been working with, the players that you're comfortable with. You know, so one of the things that one of my takes for the first two preseason games is one of the reasons the offensive line has looked so disjointed to this point is you haven't had Eric McCoy in there for either game.
The glue guy.
Because I think that genuinely, like, yeah, it's hard to say, like, oh, you know, you take one piece out and suddenly everything falls apart. But there is some level of, hey, he's not just your most important offensive lineman, he's also your best offensive lineman. He's your best communicator. Like, there were plays in that game the other day that I was like, if Eric's in there, I think he's able to do stuff that allows Caesar to play better, right? Like, I think Caesar's kind of operating on an island because Eric's not next to him and he can't trust. And no disrespect to Torricelli Simpkins, but he's a rookie UDFA. He just sure doesn't have the reps. So you can't expect him to do the high-level center things that Eric's going to do kind of just instinctively. And so I'd like to think that him out there as the entire group play better. But, again, you're not going to have Trevor Penning. He's still dealing with that foot injury. So you have Dylan Radins again. You're probably not going to have Fuaga. So you're going to be down your right tackle. So it's not going to be perfect. That said, I still need Spencer to go out there because I think at this point, you know, for Spencer, you know, he was always had kind of a leg up in this quarterback competition in the sense that I think all he had to do to win this job was to go out there and look confident and give you the impression that putting him in that role was not going to be catastrophic. Like if the season went terribly, the primary reason wasn't going to be because of the quarterback you started. Right. And I think he's done that throughout training camp. And it's not to say Tyler has looked bad. He's just looked like a rookie that I'd like to give a little bit more time. That happens, right? Like that's a perfectly acceptable way to kind of onboard a second round pick into the NFL. You don't have to have that guy start week one. The only reason you would is if you had no one you trusted ahead of him. And to this point, I feel like Spencer has been a reasonably trustworthy player in that role. Now, if he goes out there today and completely just destroys that theory, then that's one thing. But I'd like to think he goes out there and just plays confidently because we've seen him in practice. We only saw one practice this week, but we saw him in the second week two of the preseason against the Jaguars. We've seen him in practice look confident, so I'd expect to see him go out there and show that again today.
You mentioned with Eric McCoy, is there a chance that he gets a start today? Do you want to get him out there? Or do you keep him in bubble wrap for the regular season?
I would. I mean, there's some players I'm not putting out there. You know, you may put Alvin out there just to get a look at him in the offense, but I don't think you have to.
Right.
Same thing on the defensive side with like a DeMario Davis, and a part of that reason is, hey, I have more interest in getting a look at some of the depth running backs than I need to get a look at Alvin.
Yeah.
And I don't think not having him, it changes a lot, but it doesn't change how you operate. Like, you're still asking the running backs to do the same thing, on the linebacker side. But no, I'd like to see Eric. I think, you know, I want to see if I'm going to try to grade my quarterbacks and decide who's the starting quarterback based on performance, I need to see that quarterback playing with his starting center in a game setting, right? Because that changes so much. And so, yeah, I don't know if you'll get him out there for as long as you might, you know, a Kelvin Banks who needs more reps.
A series with Eric.
At least one series I'd like to see.
And how about the new addition at wide receiver? It'll be interesting to see if he can come in for a few plays, Devon Valet.
Yeah, does he have pads yet? Have they fitted him for
I know
pads?
He has a number at least.
He does have a number. He's going to be wearing number 14. They cut Donovan Peoples-Jones
right
to make room for him. I'd like to see him out there just whether he gets on the field or not. I'd like to see him in uniform. I'd like to see him kind of out there so he can, so the fans can get a look at him. You know, I don't think he's, there's no way you're up on any of the offense yet, but you can give him a package of a couple plays.
In the red zone, right?
Yeah, he knows how to run a slant. He knows how to run a fade. Like, you know, you're not going to give him anything complex. You're not going to run a hurry up with him. But, you know, maybe a play or two would be nice just to, so you can kind of show off your new addition before you take 2 weeks off. Because I know there has been some kind of agita in around the trade, you know, some agitation, some anxiety around, okay, why are they trading a future fourth-round pick for, not a future fourth-round pick, but an upcoming fourth-round pick for a wide receiver who's 27. He's only on the second year of his contract, so you're going to build with him over the next few years, and I think at the end of the day, that's why you made the trade. If it was a one-year deal, right, if you were trading for a George Pickens, for example, who was on the Cowboys this year on the final year of his contract, you know, that's a different story because you kind of have a one-year rental, and then you got to decide, am I going to pay him?
Right.
In this case, it's like, okay, however he does this year, we're going to build on that next year, the year beyond. So even if this season goes off the rails, you're still building with that core group. And I think a team like this is trying to build a culture. You don't want, you know, mercenary players. You want players you're building with who can kind of build in that culture, and I think that's what that was about.
It'll be interesting with the wide receiver room how things end up shaking out there because I was definitely confident in three to begin with, and that third one though is wavered on me a little bit now. I more feel that, you know, Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, and now Mason Tipton maybe even over Brandon Cooks as that third. I just don't know.
No.
I don't know if Cooks's role really with this team. I haven't seen much from him.
I guess, but he hasn't played much.
I'm right. I know he's that veteran guy. You don't really need to see as much from him, and I know he's getting a pretty hefty contract, but I feel like, you know,
I mean, well, he's making the roster. Like, there's no question that Brandon Cooks is making the roster.
You think he's locked in?
Yes, they're paying him either way. They're not just going to cut him. They're not going to just going to burn. People are making a big deal about a fourth-round pick. You're not going to make a big deal about burning $8 million? No, he's making the team. It's always easy to look at it and say, wow, we have so much depth until one guy gets hurt and suddenly you need those players. So he's not getting cut.
So then you add in Cooks, Tipton, Devon Valet, and there's your five receivers right there.
Yes. Yeah. And so previously I had Cedric Wilson on my roster. I think if anyone gets bumped because of Valet showing up, it's probably Cedric Wilson. Now, he has a relationship with Kellen Moore. They were together on the Cowboys. They're both Boise State guys.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. But yeah, I think he could also keep six. And if you keep six, you'd keep Cedric. Tipton is on the roster, but I still kind of see him as like insurance for any of those top three guys. And at this point, you know, I think he may be a game day inactive in week one, but you can't cut him just because of what he's shown, right? Like you at the very least can't trust that he's going to make it through waivers. So you're going to keep him around. But no, Cooks is, you know, he's the veteran in that room. Like, there's a chance he plays his way out of a role if he doesn't play well, but he's going to get a role to start the season. That's it. Like, you're not mad about Cooks coming out or about Tipton coming out and playing well. And maybe in the second year of Cooks' deal, that becomes a question. But right now, I think it's pretty much locked in with, you know, Olave and Shaheed at the top.
Right.
Valet kind of being that short yardage, red zone, chain mover type guy. And then however you work in Cooks behind him in kind of those three wide receiver sets, I think that's what you're going to do. But he's not going to have a huge role. Like, he's the top paid wide receiver on this team right now. But he's not going to be the wide receiver one.
The interesting thing you mentioned with Cedric Wilson Jr. is he is a big piece in the run blocking schemes, at least. So that kind of, I don't know if you have a wide receiver that does that. I know Sean Payton talked about Valet being a good run blocker as well, but we haven't seen it. So
yeah, I mean, the term that people like to use is willing blocker, which isn't always the biggest, you know, it's like, that's what I need you to be. That's not like, that's also not great. Like, it's not saying like, wow, he's a fantastic blocker. It's like, he's willing to get in there and get his nose dirty. That's a good thing, but it's like, okay, can he actually excel? So yeah, I think that's going to be a big part of whether you keep Cedric around is, do you trust him early in the year? Because it's like, yeah, he has 2 weeks, but that's not that long. You know, how much are you going to trust him in week one, week two, week three? And if the answer is, you know, in a limited role, then you might have to keep Cedric around just because he understands some of the more complex concepts you're trying to run.
Yeah, maybe you're not worried about if you do cut him to, you know, want to put him on the practice squad, that someone's not going to claim him.
Well, that's the question.
Right.
Right? No, he's a veteran, so he doesn't have to go through waivers.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone offers him a job, you know, like, you can put him on the practice squad, but he doesn't have to go to your practice squad. So It's really a question of whether, you know, would he find that insulting if you cut him, like, and say, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, those are the type of things inside. Like, it's easy to look at them like pieces on a chessboard and forget, like, oh, it's a person with a ego and personality. Like, no one likes to get cut. They're not going to be like, thank you for cutting me. I'll gladly stick around, even though they have an offer on the table. So that's just something to keep in mind when you're talking about, you know, it's tough to make roster projections because, you know, you're kind of guessing at a lot of this stuff, especially in the first year with Kellen Moore.
Sticking with that wide receiver room still, it's just a guy like Dante Pettis kind of seems like he is destined for the practice squad at all, you know, if he's not making the team.
You know, it's funny because I really like Pettis.
Seems to be a viable option in the return game.
He is a viable option in the return game, and he makes catches. Like, that's the thing. Like, everyone's like, Dante Pettis, whatever. But then you throw to him, and he makes these big catches, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, if I can trust him, like, go back to the game against the Rams last year in this building where you had a chance to tie it. Like, who caught the two-point conversion to set that up? It was Dante Pettis. You know, he got a touchdown from Spencer Rattler in the first half against the Bucks in Week 18. Like, he's a guy that just, you put him out there and he makes plays. And those are guys I like to keep around. Like, maybe a team comes in, maybe Rizzi. You know, Rizzi coming in today is really kind of fitting because, you know, there's a lot of players that it's like, if I cut them, is Darren going to be like, I worked with him last year. I feel really good about it. Like, you know, how many of his special teamers right now are guys that he's scouted and brought in?
Stallbird's a guy I worry about that.
There's a few guys, if you cut him, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Rizzi is, like, punching Sean on the shoulder.
Right.
I mean, like, bring that guy in, you know. So, you know, maybe Pettis is that guy. Like, anyone that came in under Rizzi and gets cut this year, I look at and say he's a potential waiver claim with the Broncos.
For sure.
Because their
relationship,
he's going to try to build up that special teams group in the image that he had spent years building up here.
We're going to take a break here on our Caesars Sportsbook First Take. You can sound off on our WWL text line and talk line, 504-260-1870. Come back right after this. We're in the Superdome, 10 a.m. The Cajun Cannon drops by for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. We're located Loge Level, Gate B Atrium, folks. Make sure when you get here, you say who dat. We're going to take a break, be back with more right after this on WWL's.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Saints Radio.
We just got to preach fast start. We have to start fast, you know, because it's hard to come back. So you got to start fast, stay fast. And that's something, Kellen, we practice every single day. We want to start fast.
That is our starting quarterback for the day, Spencer Rattler, talking about the Saints' need to get off to fast starts. Jeff and I talked about a little bit about that in the first segment. This team, the offense, has managed only field goals in the first half of the first two games. All the touchdown action came, you know, after halftime, and you're hoping that, you know, you can get something together with this first-team offense to at least drive down the field and get more points than just three before the half. It would be nice to get that touchdown, though.
Yeah, and I mean, we say all the touchdown action. There's been one touchdown in both games. Woo-hoo. It's not like they've had multiple. You know, I guess they had a drive down to the one against the Chargers, but that was a drive that went 16 total yards. So it's not like that was a real drive. I thought Tyler had a strong drive last week that, you know, was undone by a drop. It wasn't really on the quarterback. You know, the read was great. You know, it was a great read, great throw, drop. So, you know, it's not all about the quarterback, but
no,
yeah,
for me, it's more about the offensive line too.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, you got to block, you got to run. Like I would love to see Spencer play well. I'd love to see him supplemented with a reasonable running game, right? Like that's been something that's been completely absent. You did see a couple long runs last week, but one was on a 3rd and 30, and the other one got called back for a hold. So, you know, like I think Bayless Jones had one double-digit run late in that game. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I'd like to see from the offense. You know, there's a lot of things that have been left wanting from that group.
We heard after the Saints made the trade for a wide receiver, Diana Rossini of The Athletic came out and said that they were one of the teams in the market to try and acquire a running back. And you want to talk about causing another stir on social media.
Yeah, you know, I think we'd be used to this by now. The Saints are just one of those teams that's always calling around. Like, I think there's this idea that checking prices means that you are in the market. But at the end of the day, you don't know if you're in the market until you know the price, right? Like, if you don't call and check the price, then you don't even know whether that's something you could do. Like, if I'm a GM and I'm like, it's like, oh, maybe we're in the market for a running back if there's a great deal on the table. But unless I ask what the price is, I don't know what the deal is. So I never got the sense that they were really, you know, very aggressively going after that. But it's the same reason every the morning of every draft, one of the reporters sends out a tweet that says, oh, these teams are calling around.
Trying to move up, right.
And one of them is always the Saints because that's just, they believe in that. Like, I want to know the prices so I can make a decision. That said, like, hey, you know, maybe they were going and looking at a Brian Robinson or a Travis Etienne or someone like that to say, hey, if we can get a good deal and we can upgrade, let's do it. But I still don't get the sense that that's something that's really likely on the table because, I don't know, like, I think they're in decent shape at the running back position just in the sense of, like, what do you expect out of your third and fourth string running backs?
Yeah, now, to me, if it was an offensive lineman or a corner, I would understand that a lot more than running back.
Well, who's to say they aren't calling around for that, too? I'd be surprised if they haven't. It's just one of those things that it gets reported, and that's the one thing that gets reported. Thus, you are a team that's desperate for a running back, and I just don't get the sense that that's true.
And I think a lot of folks get a little agitated the fact that the team, you know, potentially giving up more draft assets in a year where you're not expected to do that great, and the fact you're going to end up with maybe a top five pick.
People get agitated about a lot of things.
Really?
Right? When you're in the situation the Saints are, there's nothing you can do that'll make people happy. Everyone's going to assume, like the analysts assume everything you do is the wrong thing. The fans assume that everything you do is the wrong thing. There's no grace given. Now, I mean, if you're back in 2018, like, every move is the right thing. Right, like even if it's a bad move, people would be like, "Wow, they're so wise. Yeah. They're so forward thinking." And then it's like, "Wow, but Loomis math." Remember when everyone was so excited about how Mickey Loomis was manipulating the salary cap?
Yeah.
And now it's like, "Oh no, it's the worst thing that's ever happened."
We're in cap hell.
You know,
now,
it's like that's just the reality when you're good versus when you're bad. Right, like that's just where you are. But I do think, like, if you look at 2018 to now, it's the difference is in 2018, 2019, 2020, those years, you were making a lot of win now decisions that didn't have anything kind of spun into, but it's also a win later decision. right? Like, you were going and bringing in Janoris Jenkins, Emmanuel Sanders, guys that were veterans, that were expensive, that you were only going to keep for a year or two, and there really wasn't any long-term potential. It was either we win now or we move on and find somebody else later. In this case, you're still going to make some trades. You're still going to make some moves. You're not going to just sit there and hoard your picks like some mythical dragon. But, you know, like, I do think there's that now there's a level of we are going to make trades, but we're going to also make sure those trades do serve us for the future. Like, bringing in Devon Vele, yes, there is some level of win now to that, but there's also a level of win 2 years from now to that, right? So I think that kind of balances it out. And that's the position the Saints are in right now, is they can no longer make exclusively win now trades, but they're still gonna try to win games. That's their job. Their job is to win games. They're not gonna. I think that's the disconnect between the fans and the decision making at this point, is that the front office is never gonna go into a conversation about how can we improve the team and say, yeah, but we want to lose. Like, that's just not what they're gonna do. And if people can kind of put their feet where the front office is in that regard, I think they're going to have a much easier time understanding why they do the things they do. Yeah, you might not agree with it, but you'll at least have a better time understanding it.
I understand the anger of giving up the fourth-round pick for Devon Vele, but there's definitely a position of need that we talked about so much going into this season, and then they finally went out and pulled the trigger on a guy that apparently was getting multiple interests, the Denver Broncos, from the Denver Broncos claimed at least.
Yeah, we'll hear what Sean Payton said. I just think there's a point where people fall in love with the theoretical value of draft picks and ignore the fact that, like, if you turn a draft pick into a proven player, then that's what were you hoping to get out of that draft pick? And, yeah, like, I guess having that fourth-round pick, it's a potential trade piece. So if you end up in a situation where, you know, there's the quarterback you're in love with and you got to move up two spots, you no longer have that pick to trade. But I don't know. Like, I worry about this team before I worry about the theoretical future team. And again, you're not going to only worry about this team, but you're trading for a player. Again, if this was George Pickens, I would be critical of that, because you now have a 1 year rental on a player that you don't know how he's going to fit. There's some baggage. There's issues.
Right.
In this case,
you've got to get a contract for him.
In this case, you're getting a rookie on a seventh round contract for three more years. So if he's a consistent contributor for 3 years, then this is a fantastic trade, because that's all you can hope for a fourth round pick. You know, if you want to be miserable, go and look at the Saints' history of drafting in the fourth round over the last two decades. There's a couple in there, but man, there's a lot of bad picks. You traded up twice to get Nick Saldivari and Jake Haener in the fourth round. How's that going? And it's like, well, what if that's the first pick of the fourth round? What do you think Nick Saldivari was picked?
They're all not C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Exactly.
So the hit rate is pretty low on day three of the draft. There's a lot of flyers. For every Amon-Ra St. Brown, there are three Antonio Gandy Goldens. And if you don't know that name, that's my point. Like, you're just throwing darts at the board and hoping you hit. So, that's why I don't have an issue with it. You're bringing in a player that's proven 41 catches, 475 yards, three touchdowns. And like Kellen Moore said, you know, these aren't just like one-offs. Like, Mason Tipton had 14 catches last year. Can you remember a single one of them?
Not really, no.
Exactly, because they were done in kind of irrelevant situations.
Right.
And he was on the field. He just didn't make an impact. Well, 26 of Devon Vele's 41 catches were for first downs. 75% of the targets thrown his way were caught. So, you know, that's what you're adding. And while, yes, he's not a perfect player, he's 27 years old. You know, he's not exactly a burner, but he's 6'5". He can be that physical player, and that's what you need. So I can't hate the trade. Like, the trade, the success or failure of the trade is not going to be whether you paid above market or below market. It's going to be what he produces in the 3 years that he's in a Saints uniform. And, you know, we've got to see what happens before. Like, I cannot tell you whether it's a good or trade right now, because a good or bad trade right now, because I need to see what he does.
Speaking about that trade, Sean Payton of the Denver Broncos was asked about trading Devon Vele to the Saints. Here's what he said.
I asked Paul, my assistant, find out how many players I've traded or been involved in a trade with. And Devon was the 26th player. The interesting thing with him was two and then a third team all called. In other words, we weren't actively shopping at all. But teams in need of receivers obviously do a good enough job. They look at the depth of certain teams. So within like a three-day period, George and I had gotten calls from two serious teams and a third and all coincidentally on the same player. And look, at George would know better the initial offer or what the compensation would be. And the next morning he and I sat down and said, no, that, you know, obviously we value this player. And then the following day it picked up, it became more serious. And then we're having to look at the roster as a whole and trying to find the right and the best 53. But the thing different, and I looked over those trades, those other 25, and 90% of them were easy trades to make, meaning there wasn't the right fit for whatever reason, but there, and then there's that 10% that are difficult. This was one of those 10% that, man, all the things that we look for, discipline, structure, smart, tough, talented, that's why this one was difficult. And certainly New Orleans was looking, just talking with Mickey, they felt they were missing a bigger receiver. They knew we had a number of big receivers. And so it kind of went in the beginning of the week is just discussion. And then two teams really came back more than serious about this trade. And there is a point at some point where you're looking at the roster, you're looking at your depth, and towards the end, it was something we felt was going to be best for the club. He was fantastic when we visited with him. He's going to be a real good player for them. And so those are the tough ones. And really, I was only able to come up with like two that were like that. Darren Sproles was a real tough decision, and I later regretted it. But most of the time, they're easier, but we wish them well.
Denver head coach Sean Payton talking there. We're going to touch on some of those comments when we get back from the break here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. Be right back after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
moves. It's the last stage of this training camp journey, and so there's a lot of opportunities to be had out there for all these guys for every level of the roster. There's opportunities throughout this thing. We got so many guys who have a path to the 53, and it's exciting to let them play this whole journey out. And then next week, once we obviously have to make the those challenging decisions, then our focus shifts to the regular season. We start getting ready for that.
Coach Kellen Moore, welcome back into the WWL and the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. We heard that Sean Payton cut before going to break was talking about the trade of Devon Valet, and I think it was 26 players he had mentioned he had traded so far in his coaching tenure. And this one stood out as one that was, you know, one of the harder decisions for him to make.
Yeah, and, you know, there's the whole, like, compared him to the next Marcus Colston thing. You kind of take that with a grain of salt. Like, I think there's a level to which Mark or Sean is gassing up his own player. And
I think there's maybe what he said was basically the fact that he had Marcus Colston traits about him.
Traits, he's a seventh-round pick. You know, not a lot of people are talking about him, even though, you know, I think he's a quality player. You know, he's Sean Payton has drafted a lot of wide receivers. Sean Payton has dealt with a lot of rookie wide receivers. There's only two wide receivers in the history of Sean Payton's coaching tenure who had better stats as a rookie, and one was Marcus Colston, the other one was Mike Thomas. Like, Brandon Cooks didn't have better stats than Devon Valet. He was a first-round pick. Like, the Saints have had highly drafted players. It's just, you know, there's a point to which it's like, yeah, seventh-round pick, but he produced. So there's value there. Like, you go look at the stats of the fourth-round wide receivers from last year, and I'm going to tell you in advance, you can combine them all, and it doesn't equal out to 41 catches for 475 yards and three touchdowns. Heck, you can go into the third round from last year, and you're still not going to find that. The only receivers outside of the first round last year who put up meaningful numbers, at least in the top four rounds, were Ladd McConkey, who was kind of the unicorn of the group. He had 80 catches and more than 1,000 yards. He was a star for the Chargers. And then Keon Coleman, who only had 29 catches, had a strong rookie season, but only had 29 catches for like 599 yards. He was a big play guy as opposed to kind of a chain mover guy for them. But like guys who, it's hard to find young players on team-friendly deals who are producing at the rate that Vele produced last year. So I think that's the sales pitch, right? And I know I've seen people say, oh, the Brian Robinson got traded to the wherever for a sixth-round pick. And it's like, again, it's an example, like I just have a George Pickens. He's on the final year of his rookie deal.
Right.
So you're trading for a rental and then going to have to decide. Like, you're going to look at him this year and then have to decide whether you want to pay him $6, $8 million next year.
I think maybe two folks would feel a little bit better about it if he was 23-year-old prospect.
Oh, yeah. If he was 20, if he was 25, if he was worth a fifth-round pick instead of a fourth-round pick. Like, but again, you're talking about the value as opposed to, is the player any good? And that's going to be the conversation, is the player worth the investment? And we won't know until we see him on the field. I will mention the age is a product, at least in part, of a two-year Mormon mission after high school.
We like
Samoa.
Those Mormons here.
Yeah, I mean, there's ample evidence that the Saints really like to mine the state of Utah and the College of Utah, even. They have two safeties out of Utah right now in Blackman and Burgess. But so you look at the football age, and the football age is closer to a 25-year-old player. I would be worried. You know, like, it's funny because you look at Tyler Shuck, and you say he's 25, and it's because he spent 7 years in college, and he was taking reps and taking hits and whatever, and so the tread on the tires, quote-unquote, is different. In this case, you have a college player who played 4 years of college, 1 year of the NFL. So, you know, there's some degree to which age is really just like, okay, that's how old you are. How much juice do you have left in the tank? And I always look at Michael Turner. Go back and look at Michael Turner's career and how little he played behind LaThanian Tomlinson early in his career. And he went over to the Falcons at like his age, like 25 or 26 season. And it was like, oh, but he has a lot of tread left on the tire because he hasn't played a ton. And he had two great seasons for the Falcons as a running back. And so, you know, like that's, I think there is, you know, we talk about it, that is a factor, is how much football have you actually played relative to your age?
Want to hear from you, Who Dads, what you're doing today for this preseason finale on a Saturday. Also getting ready for week zero of the college football season kicking off today as well. You can sound off on our WWL talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Going to hit the line, and Jimmy in Gretna wants to sound off. What you got today, Jimmy?
Hey, how's it going, guy? Look, you're talking about that Mormon guy. He took that sabbatical, the guy we just traded for from Denver, the big, tall wide receiver. it makes me think of, you know, Taysom Hill. It's a birthday for him today, so happy birthday, Taysom Hill. The Mormon Missile, the Mormon Ghost, a.k.a. Derry Sanders, a.k.a. Vanilla Vic. All right, they call him Vanilla Vic in some circles. So, yeah, I mean, look, I hope he comes back. He's a team leader. He's 35. A lot of our leaders on this team are getting older. What, Cam Jordan's 36. Taysom's, well, he might be 36 now, too. I don't know how old Taysom is exactly. I know he's mid-30s. You got DeMario mid-30s. And Kamara's 30 years old. So, you know, obviously it's a total rebuild. And, you know, some fans are scared about that. But, you know, look, if we come out of this season knowing who our quarterback is, going into next season, I'll be happy with that, whether that's Rattler or Shuck. I do think starting Rattler, you know, game one of the regular season makes sense for Kellen Moore because we know Tyler Shuck was handpicked by Kellen Moore, right? That was his prom date. He picked him. And, you know, if you go with Shuck early and he does what Jarrett Lee did with LSU and he goes into the game against Auburn after Perilou got kicked off the team, and he throws some pick sixes on the road against a really good team, you never get a chance again. Jarrett Lee was called Pick Six Lee for the rest of his career behind Jordan Jefferson. I worry that something like that could happen to Shuck. You throw him in too early. He is a rookie. And I think, honestly, Kellen Moore probably listening to your show this morning as he goes to the Superdome. Look, it'd be smart. Start Rattler. That way all the Who Dat Nation can't go, well, you got to put Rattler in. Look, if he does well, you stick with him. If he sucks or has any issues whatsoever or is mediocre at best, then at least Kellen Moore can be like, look, we tried the Rattler plan, right? And look, I'm a Rattler fan. I think he's got a good chance of doing well in this league. And, you know, last year, 0-6, he had a bunch of Uber drivers blocking for him. And this year, they're all starting the season healthy. So I hope Trevor Penning can get a little lower on that block. I'm sure he's listening as well. So if he can get that stance a little bit lower, guys, I think he'll do well. What's your take on Penning's stance? And do you think it's a lock deal that Rattler will start game one?
Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, all the Saints coaches and players are listening to this show before the game today.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
And happy birthday, yes. Taysom Hill turns 35 today. So.
Yeah, we'll say, yeah, he's 35. I know that because he is a fellow 90s baby. We have it easy because we don't have to remember what age we are. We just take the year and add 10 and we're there.
Oh, so you and Taysom, yeah. Same age.
Yeah, we're going to have a joint birthday party with you.
With the Trevor Penning situation, I feel like we were at least seeing a little bit of advancement from him at the guard position this year, and it seemed that he had the confidence at least going into camp. But, you know, come the first preseason game, things didn't go too well.
Well, he got hurt.
Yeah.
So it's tough to gauge, you know. I think he's going to be the starting left guard when he gets back. The question's going to be, we're going to find out on I don't know when they have to declare it, but this week at some point when, you know, you can put players on IR early. And if they believe that his injury is going to keep him out for 4 weeks, then I think he ends up on IR to save a roster spot. But, yeah, I mean, it would be great if they could get him back to start the season. Either way, you know, I thought Dylan Radins actually played pretty well in week two. So I'm not super concerned about it. I would like to see Trevor out there. I think it's gonna hurt him to not get these reps.
That's what I wonder. Can Radins end up stealing the starting job from Penning?
Probably not. And I just because you have the investment in Penning and you're gonna want to see it. But I do think feeling confident about Radins makes a difference because if Trevor goes in there and struggles, then you will have kind of a guy on deck who can take over if you need to.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing this O-line because there's been way too much pressure up the gut from what we've seen in practices and in the preseason games early on. And hopefully with Spencer getting the start today, he doesn't face as much pressure in his face that there's been.
Yeah, great. I would like for the offensive line to go out there
and play
well.
And I know, Eric, not having McCoy is a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's more in the run game and picking up stunts. So, no, I mean, like, it's a group. Like, you need the group to play well, whether it's Penning, whether it's Radins. I need all five guys to play well. I'm curious who's going to start at right tackle. It's probably going to be Landon Young. Maybe Ezrim, but most likely Landon Young, I would guess.
I would think that, too. You know, the issue with Fuaga, we're hoping, is nothing serious. And I know that, you know, head coach Kellen Moore said that it was something minor that happened in the Superdome session.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday. You know, anytime you're talking about a injury with a tackle or a knee injury with an offensive lineman,
yeah,
to any extent, like you can say it's minor, but these are 300-pound guys, and you have those joints that, you know, once they start to break down, it's hard to bring them back. Right, so you always have to look at him and be like, well, that's a little bit concerning. You don't want to hear of a guy dealing with kind of any issues. I mean, like, it didn't sound like a significant – I'm not comparing Fuaga, who's a second-year player, to Ryan Ramczyk, who's a seventh-year player, when he dealt with his kind of degenerative knee issues.
Oh, don't even say that.
It's like – well, I mean, it happens fast, right? Like, it seems like everything's okay, and then all of a sudden the knee starts to break down, and you have to worry about it. So I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying whenever you hear about a young tackle, it's like, ah, it's a knee. Don't worry about it. I don't know. I always worry about it a little bit. But I don't anticipate it's going to be anything that keeps him out. And honestly, it's probably a good thing that you can get reps for whoever that swing tackle is, because, you know, that's someone who almost always has to get into the game. You don't always end up playing your ninth string offensive lineman, but you almost always end up having to play that swing. Like, think about how often James Hurst got on the field, even when he wasn't the starter. Like, there's value in getting that guy reps. So I don't think it's the end of the world that Fuaga misses a game. And hopefully Landon Young, I think Landon Young is a decent sixth tackle or sixth offensive lineman. He's, anytime you can have a fourth, fifth year player in that role who understands the offense, who you feel decent about, that's an advantage. So hopefully he can go out there. And maybe I'm being biased because I like Landon. Landon's a good dude.
One thing that's good, I guess you could say, about the Saints first round pick this year, Kelvin Banks, is we haven't really talked too much about him, and that's always a good thing for offensive linemen.
Anytime you do, like it's Fuaga last year, right? Like anytime we spend a lot of time not talking about you, that's a good thing. One other thing I am interested to see today is, okay, Luke Fortner, you traded for him?
Yeah.
He traded Colin Saunders for him, and the funny thing is Colin Saunders said that he was playing Fortnite when he got the news that he was getting traded for Luke Fortner. It's fitting, right? But, you know, so, okay, do you stick with Torricelli Simpkins as your backup guard? Do you go with Luke Fortner and move Simpkins back to kind of a swing guard position? I meant center. You know, is he your backup center? So I'm curious to see how they game that out today, because Simpkins has played a ton over the last 2 weeks.
Top of the hour news and more of the Caesar Sportsbook First Take after this. We are back in here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take inside the Superdome, getting ready for the noon kickoff on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Coming
Steve,
up,
what day is it?
It is Saturday
wow.
morning.
Weird.
So weird. Getting ready for the countdown, Bud Light countdown, the kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon. Bobby Avery, you can stop by our location on the Loge Level, Gate B Atrium. Say who dat, say what's going on as we get ready to kick off the regular season, although we got a little bit of a bye week before the start of the real deal. But you mentioned it last hour, Jeff. I can't believe we did four of these things before.
Yeah, no, I think three is this. You know, they used to do six of these things. I was talking to Haas about that. Like, can you imagine doing, if we got to this game and we're like, halfway done. halfway to the regular season.
Still got some more exhibition play to get through.
Yeah, it's crazy to think they used to play some, like, they would play six preseason games and, like, 14 regular season games or 12, whatever. I'm ready. But the thing is, hey, you know, one of the reasons the first 3 weeks of the season is so, like, yeah, that's not how the season's going to go. Like, it's always really easy to look at it and be like, wow, this is exactly, you know, we know who's good, we know who's bad, but, like, just look at last season as a guide. I mean, if you didn't know any better, you would have thought the Saints were the best team in football. And, you know, maybe healthy, they were up there toward in the top half. But, you know, like, some weird stuff happens in week one and week two. And a big part of that is because there's just not enough time to get prepared to the point where you're playing your best football in week one. Like, there's good teams. There's teams that go out there and win and play good football. But no team in the NFL walks into week one prepared to tackle as best as they're going to be, prepared to execute on offense or defense at peak level. So it's just kind of funny. Like, again, you know, the as badly as the Dennis Allen era went, you talk about how important is it to get off to a good start. I mean, he won his opener all 3 years, and in the third year he got fired, they started 2-0 both times, and in both years it was like an unmitigated disaster for the middle stretch. And in both years they kind of finished strong to an extent. You know, they won four of the final five in 23. But, you know, it's like, if you can't maintain and sustain and improve over the course of the season, you're not going to win enough games for anything to matter.
I still feel like the first 2 weeks last season, I was in a fever dream and it didn't really exist.
It still doesn't make sense. So you look at it and like, wait, what? I mean, like, I was dunking on power rankings. I was having a great time. I'm glad it happened because, you know, we at least got to experience that. But then he's 7 straight losses. It's like crazy.
Yeah, that was definitely rough. And, you know, we mentioned the importance of Eric McCoy, and things really seemed to go downhill when he went down in week 3.
Right. And it's like you can say, hey, that team just wasn't good enough. It definitely wasn't good enough once Eric went out. And that's why when I say, hey, I think not having Eric out there for the first 2 preseason games changes a lot. I mean, we've seen firsthand. And the thing is, he got back last year, but he wasn't himself. Like, he was never 100%, whether it was an elbow or whatever. Like, he was always dealing with something. So even when he got back on the field later in the year, he wasn't what you wanted him to be, and the offense wasn't what you wanted it to be with the receivers out and other pieces out. So, you know, like, we talk about him as a star, as the best player on this offense probably for a reason. It's because that player is really important to your offense.
Looking at, you know, some of the guys trying to make a, you know, earn a spot on this roster, linebacker Jalen Ford, someone who, you know, wasn't having a big standout training camp until I feel like you guys went out west.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there's some level of, hey, you know, you're not getting consistent reps when you have a linebacker room this deep. And so your opportunities to make standout plays just aren't as frequent.
Yeah.
And so when you don't necessarily deliver on those small opportunities, it can come off as like, oh, you're just not playing well. When in reality, it's like, hey, maybe you are playing well and just the ball didn't come to the spot where you can make a play on it, right? And that's not what happened in week 2 of the preseason. Now, I do have to give Nick Mullins a little bit of credit because I have no idea where he was trying, like what he was looking at that made him think that he could, you know, even if Jalen doesn't intercept it, I think Sanker might come over the top and intercept it. Like, it wasn't open at either level. He tried to float it over Jalen, and Jalen was like, hey, I'm an athlete, man. Like, you're not getting this over me. And he made a nice play on the ball. He led the team in tackles in week 1 of the preseason. He had a couple other plays where you could just see the speed and the athleticism, all the stuff that makes him stand out as a special teamer. I think I've said this so many times, I'm a broken record, but I think this linebacker room is the deepest position on the team, at least the inside linebacker room, and he's a big part of that.
The voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, caught up with Jalen Ford recently. Let's hear what Ford had to say to Hawes.
Take me through the interception, kind of what your role was, what you saw.
We were sitting in a pressure opposite of where I was at. So I kind of just dropped back in coverage, and I think the quarterback kind of stared his route down a little bit. And maybe he read hot from the other side. So I just kind of got in the window, and he threw it. And I just kind of instincts took over and just tried to make a play.
And then that kind of aggressiveness felt like it continued throughout the game. And from a pressure standpoint.
I would say, Staley is a really aggressive coach. We were just talking about that. Like, he's really aggressive, but he's really smart. So he knows when to be aggressive and he knows when not to be. And so I think, you know, just letting linebackers blitz, letting us show the same thing we've been doing and kind of switch it up, kind of can affect the offense. And that was kind of one of them. And I was just able to go make a play on it.
I bet I've talked to 20 defensive guys who go, man, the Staley defense is just fun. I'm like, well, what the heck does that mean, right? It doesn't mean, it's freedom. Like, is that the ability for you to line up on the left side and you decide whether, you know, am I going on the press or am I dropping into coverage?
So there's so many calls and there's so many schemes that we've, you know, been able to install and kind of rep. And detail, and I feel like now it's kind of like everybody can go out there, have fun, play free, and I think that's what they mean when it's like fun is like we're playing really complex defenses, but we're not thinking anymore. We're kind of just going out there and having fun with it, and it allows everyone to make plays. Like Staley does a good job of having us all in there, all 3 levels, D line, linebackers, safeties, and we all watch the tape and we all see, you know, the D line is getting a rush, the quarterback feels it, and now he's throwing the ball out quicker. And the safety gets a pick or the corner, you know. And so it kind of shows you how everybody does their job. One person makes the play, but it all comes together. And so I think once you see that and you see how everyone's making plays because everyone's doing their job, that's what makes it fun.
That is half of it, is that it's not a playbook where you're just – if you have to think, that half a beat, it's too much in the NFL.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is they always tell you is not to think. Just go out there, play fast, be physical. If you make a mistake, you know, you'll learn from it. But don't ever slow down worried about not making a mistake because then it'll just only make things worse. So I think just going out there and, you know, playing fast.
Looking forward to building against Denver, which you kind of started.
Absolutely. Like you said, we had a good second half. But obviously we want to come out first, come out a lot harder, a lot faster in the first half. So I think that's just our main goal this week is just – to start fast and, you know, have that energy going into the game rather than second half.
That was Saints linebacker Jalen Ford with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, there. And you were talking about, Jeff, the linebacker room. Definitely going to be curious to see how things end up shaking out there, who ends up, you know, making this 53-man roster. You really like what you've seen out of the youngster, I feel, and Danny Stutzman has a lot of promise, and you want to keep him around. Isaiah Stallbird's been awesome on special teams.
Yeah.
Then you look at some of the guys like DeMarco Jackson, Nephi Sewell, who have also had special teams contributions. Can they do a little bit more to get into that rotation, you know, just on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, I didn't come into this camp expecting to keep six inside linebackers, but when I put my roster projection together, and like I mentioned, one of the reasons is Darren Rissey's out in Denver, and, you know, if I try to cut to Isaiah Stallbird thinking, well, he's just a special teams contributor, I can throw him on the practice squad and call him up when I need him, like they did last year. It's exactly what they did with him last year. Then they exhausted his call-ups and found a way to get him on the roster later in the year. I don't think you're going to be able to do that this year, and I don't know where the Broncos roster is in terms of spots. They obviously had a logjam at wide receiver, but they cut one of those numbers down. So, you know, how deep are they in the special teams part of the equation? I don't know. But I cannot guarantee that he's not going to come calling for a special teamer that he got on the roster last year and banged the table for to keep around. So, like, that's going to be a question. And, yeah, right now I think Nephi Sewell, despite being a guy with more NFL experience, is probably on the wrong end of the cut line. You know, maybe he's a guy you could get on special teams, but, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, I'd obviously, you know, you don't want to lose anyone, but, you know, if he got claimed, I'd feel a little less like we got a guy stolen from us, just because, you know, DA's not here anymore, Rizzi's not here anymore. So right now the linebackers I have them keeping, obviously Davis, DeMario Davis, Pete Warner, those are your starters, and that's what makes it complicated, because it's not like there's a route for any of these guys to contribute right away. Then DeMarco Jackson, Jalen Ford, Isaiah Stallbird, Danny Stutzman. Like, I have a hard time cutting any of those guys. So, you know, like, and a big...
I was wondering about DeMarco.
Yeah, and a big benefit. Like, I think DeMarco was your backup, Will.
Yeah.
You know, and he's one of your... Like, you have two guys who are defined backups right now, and I think DeMarco is one of them, and Danny Stutzman is one of them. The other two guys are special teams standouts, and... The benefit is you need special teams, like with the kickoff the way it is now, like you have to prioritize guys who can run down the field and make tackles. And I think Ford and Stallbird easily fill that role.
A position I feel like we haven't talked too much about is the safety room. And I know you have, you know, Justin Reed and Julian Blackman now really solidifying that group. But after that, you know, is Jordan Howden, Terrell Burgess, Jonas Sanker. I feel like Sanker has been getting a lot of praise from Coach Brandon Staley. We heard after him after the second preseason game raving about what he's been doing for the team. But is Jordan Howard or Burgess kind of in danger when you look at, you know, the way the rest of the safety room is shaking out?
Yeah, one of the challenges for Burgess, who I like, is that he's been hurt, and he wasn't able to play in week two of the preseason. He did get back out to practice this week, so hopefully he can play. You know, the issue they're having right now in the safety room and trying to figure out, okay, what's the depth like, is Alante Taylor's not there, and so you've had to kind of grapple with the idea of who's your backup at the star role in that nickel spot, because whoever that is has to make the roster. Especially right now, because you just don't know. I mean, Alante's missed two full weeks of practice.
And Coach was really noncommittal on who else could be playing that star position.
Exactly.
Just about everybody, pretty much.
It's not like he's stated, like, this is definitely that guy. So, you know, Ugo Amadi seems to be that guy right now. And if he is, I just don't see a way you can cut him. Like, I think you have to keep him on the roster. And that makes things a little bit more complicated because, you know, with Terrell Burgess, I really like. You know, if you're not going to keep him around if you're not going to start him in that star role. JT Gray's obviously sticking around. So I guess my question is Jonas Sanker, because if Jonas has played well enough to earn himself kind of that dime role, then I think Jordan Howden gets cut. Because I think they're kind of redundant, and Jonas has already started doing the things that I've been waiting to see Howden do for 2 years, which is just kind of get downhill and lay the boom on people.
Right.
Like, that's what I need out of that role, is someone who can go out there and hit, you know, and he'll be an asset on special teams. You know, like, I watched Howden kind of dive under tackles twice last week, and it gave me, like, you know, Minneapolis Miracle vibes of, like, keep your head up. Go make a tackle. Lay a hit on him. Don't just put your head down and dive under him. Like, I don't like seeing that at all. And he's just not playing like a confident player, and Jonas is playing like a confident player. So that's one of my, you know, I wouldn't say it's bold, but like that's my safety room right now is obviously Justin Reed, Julian Blackman. Those are your starters, and I actually feel really good about them. Then Jonas Sanker, JT Gray is going to stay just because he's JT Gray, and like there's no question he's your special teams ace. And then I have Ugo Amadi, the cuts I have, Terrell Burgess, Jordan Howden, Elliot Davison. So, you know, like I think if you're Howden, you really want to come out here and have a strong day and give the coaches something to think about.
Stay tuned for more of our Caesar Sportsbook First Take here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Taking a break. We'll be back with even more right after this, folks. Back here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. That call with Hoss and Dews coming up at noon here on Saints Radio, WWLAMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. 10 a.m., the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. You can join us here at the Loge Level, Gate B Atrium, hanging out, getting ready for game time. So stop by and say who dat to the Cajun Cannon, and a little bit of a belated happy birthday to him as well. We talked a little bit, Jeff.
Don't forget Morton.
Of course. And that
Both thing, 65.
And also Jermon Bushrod was also the same day, right?
There you go. Good for them.
Looking at the Saints running back room, we talked about that. Good to see the rookie Devin Neal back in the mix after dealing with a hamstring issue. Hoping we get to see a significant amount of snaps from him today. And I know it won't be too long of a run, but just to get some of that, I guess you'd say, rust knocked off of him and going into the regular season, because I feel like he is someone that's safe for this roster.
Yeah, well, it's tough to say, right? Like, the running back position is really complicated in the sense of, like, who do you keep, right? Like, Velus Jones is fascinating with that speed and his ability to contribute on special teams.
Did you keep
but
four running backs?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And one of them was Velus Jones. And that's despite one of the worst special teams penalties you'll see out there, which is a guy just getting knocked out of bounds and just not coming back in and costing you 15 yards and turning a 19-yard drive start into a 34-yard line drive start, which is a huge difference. But no, just that speed is a difference maker. And so you look at it and say, okay, Devin Neal versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Cam Akers. I'm willing to put Clyde above Cam at this point.
Agreed.
And so you say, okay, Devin Neal versus Clyde. And you invested a sixth-round pick in Devin because you like him. Are you going to cut him because he's hurt or because he got hurt? And to me, the answer is no. But I would really like to see him come out here and show something that would justify that decision. If he comes out and just does nothing, which it sounds like he's going to play. It's not a guarantee that he plays. He was trending in the right direction. He was at practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I think if he comes out here and shows something, shows some juice, I think he is safe on the roster. If he doesn't, then I start to wonder. But as of now, I have a hard time cutting a rookie just because he got hurt and he's dealing with something. It's not, you know, no one likes to get hurt. It's just something that happens. It happened in the initial scrimmage, which was a high-intensity day. It was really hot. I'm not surprised yet. So you had a soft tissue injury. So we'll see. And the other element of that is you talk about the practice squad. You talk about guys getting claimed on waivers. I do not expect Clyde to get claimed on waivers. Maybe he does, but, you know, he's here for a reason, which is that, you know, what teams did not try to bring him in other than the Saints, right? Like, is a rookie going to be more likely to get claimed on waivers just in the sense that, you know, teams will be speculative and say, hey, we like this guy coming out. He had a ton of success at Kansas. Let's take a flyer on him. I think that's a lot more likely than a team being like, oh, let's bring in Clyde. So, you know, I guess Devin is safe, but I'd like to see him do something today.
Let's hear a little from the rookie running back Devin Neal, who talked with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, earlier in the week.
Just give me a sense how good it was to be back out there.
Oh, yeah, it felt great. You know, I'm not familiar with missing too much time, so it's just feels good to get back in pads and, you know, just get back to work, honestly. So excited for everything's looking up.
Do you look at it as a little bit, hey, fresh legs? And, you know, there's a significant amount of eagerness to get out there and show what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, definitely have fresher legs, but I was eager the entire time. I hated missing that much time, but, you know, it is what it is, and now I'm ready to go back to work and go do what I do.
How difficult, because most people don't think rehab, they don't know, or meetings, and you still got to do all that stuff, and it's tougher to be engaged when you're not doing it, right?
Yeah, it definitely is, but, you know, it's my job to be ready at, you know, any means necessary. So, you know, I was staying ahead of my playbook, staying on the iPad, and, you know, just watching film, and like I was out there running it and just learning and just keep on, you know, figuring out what I need to do to continue to improve my game.
With all hopes to be in there Saturday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll definitely be there Saturday.
Well, Saints rookie running back Devin Neal there, and you heard him. He's planning on being out there today for that noon kickoff against the Denver Broncos. Definitely a guy you want to see in action. Like we talked about this. Was really limited so far. Unfortunate, didn't get to play in any of the preseason games so far.
Yeah, and I mean, the running back room, like we talked about, you know, they're going out, they're making calls, they're trying to improve it. And it's really just a question of, do you feel like you have the horses in the room? Kendre has been that RB2. We haven't really talked about Kendre.
Yeah.
And it's because I feel like he's safely in that RB2 role. And I think the usage you've seen from him in the preseason has been a guy that, you know, it's funny. You know, you look at preseason and it's like, okay, who starts? But it's not always a question of who starts. It's how long do you play? And that's telling of a few things. And one of those things is, okay, if you're confident in that player, he's not playing the entire game. He's playing the first half and getting the heck out of Dodge, right? And that's what we've seen for Kendre. And if you want to feel confident in your role on a roster, you want to be that player that starts and is wearing a hat by the third quarter, right? Like, you don't want to be a guy who's leading the team in snaps in the regular season, because that means you're playing for your job. So,
yeah, I feel like you got Alvin and you got Kendre, yeah. And we'll see how the rest of the things work out in that running back room. And I don't know if you still put Alvin in action today or even with Kendra Miller. Do you come out maybe with a Clyde or a Cam Akers?
You know, I'm curious to see how they handle it. I would be surprised if Kendre is down, but I also, like, I don't know. I kind of think it would make sense to have Kendre be down, because one of the only things I don't – like, I feel like for Kendre, so much confidence has been built in the sense that you just got through a training camp. Woo-hoo. Without injuries. And we're done with training camp. Training camp is over. The practices, you know, you're in regular season mode right now from a practice perspective.
Right.
This is the last vestige, this game today. And I don't know, like, I kind of feel like, you know, remember Trevor Penning as a rookie, and it's like he was kind of making strides. He was getting better. He wasn't going to start, but it felt like he was improving. And then you got him out there, and he had a nasty case of turf toe blocking on an extra point against the Chargers. And then all of a sudden, he just lost his whole rookie season. And that positive training camp just went to the toilet. You know, like, I feel like that's kind of where I am right now. And I don't know if he's going to gain much from playing today. But if he goes out there and, like, he gets his ankle rolled.
Right.
Like, there's stuff you don't have control over. And then suddenly this really positive training camp. I mean, Peyton Turner's a good example. Like, Peyton Turner, it's injury, injury, injury. And then he gets through a training camp healthy for the first time, appears in every single practice, and then, you know, the third quarter of the first regular season game, he has a terrible ankle injury and misses the next 16 games, comes back in week 18, or 15 games, comes back in week 18. So, like, that's what I want to make sure that I can at least get him to the regular season healthy. So I would endorse not playing Kendre today, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that number two running back slot is definitely his. There's no in danger of him not making this roster right now. I would kind of lean on the caution side, too, just because of the past history. And, you know, we'd like to end his offseason on a positive note.
Yeah, and I always say this, like, you can't protect people from football.
I know,
right? Like, if you're going to be a football player, you got to play football. But the running back position is such a... You know, there's so much volatility from a health perspective. Like, you're asking a guy to just run in between 300-pound men and get tackled, and all it takes is one guy landing on your ankle the wrong way in a game that doesn't actually matter, and suddenly you miss the games that do matter. So, I don't know. Like, I just think for him, so much of this is building confidence and feeling like, hey, I can get through a season. And you've done that. Like, we got through camp, no injuries. Like, I feel good about it. Now, how much does he contribute? Does he have a future in the NFL from a offensive perspective of being a fit in a scheme that's a little bit more complex than maybe something he did in college? And can he handle complex blocking assignments, stuff like that? That's not something you're going to get an answer to today. But I do think it's good to see that he's at least carved out a role for himself. And it would be a major red flag if I still didn't know that at this point.
So thinking on the offensive side of the ball, Jeff, what are the Saints going to be doing at the tight end position?
That's a good question, man. You know, Taysom Hill, Foster Moreau, you know, there was some wonder early on, like, oh, maybe one or both of these guys stands a chance to get back on the field by the end of camp. Mm. I think that's out the window.
Like, right.
We would have seen them getting at least close, and we just haven't seen that. So I expect both of those guys to start on the regular season pup list, which would mean, you know, you save two roster spots, which is helpful. And I think it's really helpful in the sense of you're cutting down to 53, and saving those, you know, not having to carry those two onto the regular season roster will help you in that regard. But that means they're going to miss the first month of the season, if that's the case. And definitely Taysom.
I agree, right?
I think there's maybe a chance Foster, you expect to get him back prior to the week five, and you don't put him on PUP. But
That leaves Juwan in a whole lot of questions.
Well, right. And so what that means is you have Juwan Johnson, who I feel really good about
sure. In
terms of what he's going to be able to do. And then, you know, like Jack Stoll, I think, is a good blocking tight end option. But, you know, Juwan, again, you're like one random injury happens that you can't prevent. You know, someone rolls over on his ankle, whatever, and suddenly Jack Stoll is your number one receiving tight end. Like, what? That's not an NFL offense. No offense to Jack Stoll. That's just not what he does. It's a good question. You have Trayton Welch. You have Michael Jacobson. I think those are practice squad guys. My projection right now is obviously Juwan, Jack Stoll. And then I'm sticking with the rookie, the guy you drafted. He profiles as a blocker, Maliki Matavau. You know, you could tell me, hey, you'd rather have a Trayton Welch. But, again, it's like, hey, I think if there's going to be someone claimed on waivers, it's probably going to be the young player as opposed to the journeyman guy who's, you know, kind of bounced around a couple rosters. I do like Trayton. I think Trayton has made a name for himself in this camp a little bit. You know, obviously, when you can go up and pick up your quarterback on a play where, you know, it's a 50-50 ball, and you can go up and make a play on first and 20 and create a positive gain and extend a drive. And, you know, that was the one scoring drive for Tyler Shuck in that game. If he doesn't make that play and you're second and 20, you probably come out of that game without a single drive for points. And we're talking about that game very differently. That's going to resonate. That's not going to go unnoticed and by the coaching staff and by the quarterback, who now is feeling a little better about throwing you a ball in a situation where you might not be wide open, but he can trust you to go make a play. So, you know, him and Michael Jacobson, I think, are pass-catching options. And if Juwan did go down, you would have to look at one of them and say, okay, can one of you guys step up and run a route and make a catch? But, no, I think that's from a depth perspective. That's the position I have the most concern about, and nothing has really changed throughout the camp process for me in that regard.
Yeah, I feel like that could possibly be a spot, too, when other teams are making those roster cuts. You go scouring the waiver wire. And looking for a body there at the tight end room.
No doubt. And that's going to be true at, you know, offensive line, I think, as well.
I agree.
Like, I don't think you're going to be desperate to bring somebody in, but, you know, if someone gets cut loose that you feel like, oh, we had a really good grade on this guy when we were scouting him coming out of college, or we have really good reports from, you know, one of the reasons I think you trade for Devon Vele and you're willing to give up a little more for Devon Vele is that I think the Saints have a good relationship with Sean Payton. As annoying as that situation with him leaving was, I don't think there's bitterness there to the degree that you're like, he's going to lie to us about whether he thinks this is going to be a good player or not. Like, and so that's a factor. Like, you're not claiming guys on waivers that you just like, I know that name, let's get him, you know? Just as an aside on that trade, you know, I saw people like, if this guy was any good, Sean wouldn't have traded him. I mean, I don't know. I've watched Sean trade good players. Like, Sean Payton is not above trading a good player if he feels like he's getting a good return for it, or it just doesn't work out, right? Like, Sean traded Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is here. We got him back.
Right.
Like, Brandon Cooks was a really good player for a long time. Jimmy Graham, Kenny Stills. Sean compared trading him to trading Darren Sproles, which is weird considering the circumstances, but you get the idea. Like, Sean is not above trading away a player with talent that just doesn't fit what he needs right now. And I think that's going to be the case. Like, when you get reports on players from people you trust, that goes a long way.
Looking at the Saints on the defensive side of the football, one group too that is going to be curious to see how many in, you know, how that rounds out with the depth is the defensive line. There's a ton of questions there for me, even after the departure and acquiring when you got, you know, Ridgeway hurt right now.
Yeah.
Nathan Shepard, who I thought was going to be in danger of not making this team, has had a pretty good camp. And I feel like he's another option, possibly at a nose tackle spot.
Not nose. He's more of your three technique. Christian Boyd, Devon Godshire are your nose tackle options. Nathan Shepard, Brian Brzee are your top two three technique kind of defensive end.
Okay.
And Nathan Shepard not playing last week is very telling of where he is from a roster perspective. Colin Saunders getting traded last week is very telling of where Christian Boyd is from a roster perspective. because that's your backup nose tackle for Devon Gotcha. And honestly, I think it's pretty straightforward now with that trade. My question was that trade, or my question was Colin and Nathan.
So both of which I have an answer. How many D linemen are you
keeping? Well, it's tough because I've split them now into outside linebacker and interior defensive line because those really are two different positions. Right now, I'm only keeping four edge rushers. Obviously, Chase Young, Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan are your top four. And then, you know, the next decision is, do you keep four or five? And then I'm only keeping four. So the question is, are you keeping Chris Rumpf, Fadil Diggs, or Isaiah Foskey? And right now, I'm keeping Fadil Diggs just because, I don't know, I drafted him. I feel good about it. Anytime I have two guys who are close, I'm going to err toward the draft pick because that's just, you know, you have them under 4 years of team control and there's value there on a seventh-round draft pick salary, right? So Chris Rumpf is a guy that I know this team likes, Brandon Staley likes, and it could probably get him onto the practice squad. Isaiah Foskey just hasn't done enough. He just hasn't. Like, I get he's a second-round pick. Like, when I say when it's close, I go with the draft pick, I don't think it's close. I don't think he's made it close. And so I'm cutting Isaiah Foskey, and I don't feel bad about it at this point.
You did show me he did make a play at least.
He did make a play. He made a nice play at the end of that preseason game, but it's like, okay, you know, I'd like to see you get near a quarterback once or twice, and this was a play where he chased something down from the backside. So,
Rock,
you know,
sorry.
Those are my four, and then interior defensive line, just close it up. Brian Brzee, Nathan Shepard, Devon Gotcheck, Christian Boyd, sorry, and then Vernon Broughton, who's the third-round pick. Yeah. I'm not cutting a third-round pick. So that's my group right now.
Taking a break here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, the official sports betting partner of the Saints. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned after this on WWL. Back here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. Welcome back in, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. You know, Jeff, we've been going through this, you know, for early goings of the pregame show, and we haven't even really talked about Tyler Shuck at all.
Who's that?
The rookie quarterback that's competing for the starting job, we believe. He's going to be getting the second go today. Spencer Rattler is going to get the start. But Tyler Shuck still in the mix here. Let's hear a little bit what he had to say he wanted to accomplish in this game.
I feel like for me, I've, you know, improved every single week in game and practice. I think operationally wise, obviously, like the results weren't exactly what we wanted, but as far as what, you know, I was trying to do and continually get better, I've been doing that. So I think for me, just kind of continuing this with the reps that we're going to get and just go out there, put some points on the board, have fun. And then, you know, obviously you can't control sometimes the expectations when you're not in the game, but just go out there and operate.
Now that's a big key for Shuck, I feel, is go out there, put points on the board, and have fun. You know he's definitely going through the motions and getting acclimated to life in the NFL as the rookie, but really just want to see him let loose and, you know, let it rip kind of deal.
Yeah, you know, the competition, I think it was a good thing to give Shuck an equal footing in this competition. It would have looked bad if you just never gave him a chance to go out there and compete for the job. And we'll see. You know, Kellen is maintaining that this is still up for grabs. And while I don't necessarily buy it, I think this is Rattler's job to lose. You know, maybe it is still up for grabs, and we're all just jumping the gun, and there's going to be something that goes out. He goes out there today, and he does something fantastic. And I'm like, wow, that's a starter. And maybe it happens. But regardless, I think, you know, the way he's handled himself in this quarterback competition is positive. Right. And you don't need, again, you don't, second round pick, he doesn't have to start week one to be successful in the NFL. He has to be ready when he's asked to start. That's the biggest thing. And so I think the way he's handled this offseason, and, you know, he'll admit, like, the first week plus of training camp, he was swimming. Like, it wasn't a mirage. Like, it wasn't going great. Like, he was
in his own head too much.
He was adjusting, and that, yeah, I can't speak for what's in Tyler's head, but it's clear that he was adjusting to the speed. He was picking stuff up. You know, there was stuff that maybe was a little more difficult than he anticipated. He had to take his lumps a little bit. You know, he had to get a little bit more aggressive, get confident being more aggressive, and we've seen that happen. I think he's come a long way from where he started to where he is right now. I still don't see him as the starter right now. I see Spencer as the starter, but I also see a guy that when he does get in, and which I assume he'll get in at some point this season, unless Spencer plays so well that it doesn't, then he never gives up the job, which in that case, win, right? So, you know, I think that Tyler is a player that is very mature. It's funny, you want to call him a kid, but he's the older quarterback of the two. He just has less NFL experience. But no, I like the way he operates. I like his physical attributes. Everything I liked about him coming in, I like right now. He can move. He can run. He's less of a scrambler than he is just a QB run guy. But no, I feel good about what he's done this offseason, and I think it's going to be skewed. It's going to be portrayed when it's inevitably announced that Spencer starts week one as if, wow, what a wasted pick. You know, they couldn't even beat out Spencer Rattler. And, you know, maybe that's the case. Maybe that is true, and it doesn't work out for him. But I just don't think that that's the right kind of conclusion to draw after what I would say was a pretty solid camp. Not perfect, not the best thing you've ever seen, but a really solid camp for a rookie quarterback as he's trying to prove he deserves to be a starter in the NFL.
Taking a break here on First Take. We'll be back as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We'll be back with more of First Take, though, like I said, right after this on WWL. On the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints, as we get ready to wrap things up for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. Jeff, almost time for you to head down to the sideline land.
Yes,
what are you
going
to be looking for most, you feel like, in this game, the last preseason finale?
Quarterbacks, baby.
QB battle?
Nah, not even QB battle. It's more like quarterback. Like, first-team quarterback, first-team offense, first-team look and drive.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, you know, I've been trying to get the George Costanza rule for the preseason to be a thing. I keep saying it. No one else has started saying it. I don't know. Maybe I'll abandon it. But
what's
I still
the
believe
Costanza
it.
Thing?
It's you want to go out on a high note, man. Like, I think if the Saints go out there with their first-team offense, lead a 10-play drive for a touchdown, get them out. Like, that's all I need to see, you know, but I need to see one, whether it's the first drive, whether it's the second drive, whether it's the third drive. I want to see one sustained, successful drive and then get them the heck out of the game. That's what I'm looking for. And because that's what you want in the preseason. The preseason, yes, there's some degree where you want to get a ton of reps. You want to get guys active. You want to get them comfortable. But just as big a part of it is I want to build confidence and sustain it. I want to come out of this game feeling like we've got this, and then you have 2 weeks to get ready for Arizona, and then you get on the field at Arizona, and the last thing you remember on this field is a successful drive. Like, that's what I want to see. And if I can get that, it doesn't have to be the first drive. It can be the second drive, third drive. I want to see at least one quality sustained drive with this first team offense. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, the O-line is definitely the biggest for me, and that goes along with obviously the entire offense.
Sure.
There
if the O-line plays well, you're probably going to have a much better chance at a sustained drive.
But yeah, just give your quarterback time to throw the football and also have those lanes open for your running backs.
For sure, and I hope they've spent a good bit of time this week on like stunt pickup, because that was a problem last week for Tyler. Not necessarily for Tyler, but for the offensive line in front of Tyler, was the Jaguars ran multiple stunts in the offensive line multiple times, failed to pick them up. So hopefully they've been working on that.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.